Oyez, the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral W. Peach presiding. All have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Peach, and to my right is Judge Allen. To my left is Judge Toth. And we are here today in the matter of Kellogg versus Wilkie, docket number 17-2348. The issue before the court is whether the 1980 amendment to the disability rating schedule, which added PTSD as a designated disability, is a liberalizing law under 38 CFR section 3.114A, and if so, does this prevent the appellant from obtaining a 1974 effective date pursuant to 38 CFR 3.156C? Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Good morning, Your Honor. Tara Goffney from Bronx, New York, for Mr. Kellogg.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ashley Varga on behalf of the Secretary. With me at counsel table is Deputy Chief Counsel Selke Cottle.
Thank you. Do you plan on reserving some time for rebuttal, Ms.?
Yes, Your Honor. 8 minutes, please.
Fine. Thank you. Okay. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Counsel for the appellant, please.
Judge Peach, Your Honors, may it please the court. Mr. Kellogg is a combat Navy Vietnam veteran who served from 1969 to 1972. He reopened his PTSD claim in 2006 after having unsuccessfully filed an initial claim for a nervous condition in 1974. The record conclusively shows that but for VA administrative error in 1975 in failing to associate his service personnel records with his file, he would have been granted service connection for the mental disability in 1975, effective 1974. Therefore, Mr. Kellogg has been seeking the same benefit for his mental disability for the past 45 years. And the instant case is his third appeal to the court for the same benefit. In this appeal, the VA has sought to limit the effective date for his disability to April 1980, almost 6 years after he filed his initial claim in 1974. The reason for this is that the...
Ms. Agafte, I just want to sort of direct you to my question, which is, I concede you're correct. I mean, he applied for the same benefit in 1974. That the question is whether the benefit itself, PTSD, existed, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, in the Spencer case, I think the Federal Circuit defined liberalizing law is basically one that either provides a new basis, or it creates a new or different entitlement to a benefit, or provides a new basis of entitlement for a claim benefit, as opposed to something procedural that was just directed towards improving the adjudicative function. Here, I mean, did the benefit exist, or the benefit PTSD exist at that time?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Kellogg contends that it did, in fact, exist at that time. I believe that pursuant to the studies in the medical area, they have concluded that PTSD did, in fact, exist prior to it having been officially.
But I mean, so there may have been ways that they could have rated something by analogy or something very close, but is that identical to the PTSD that was added by the DSM-3 in 1980?
Well, Your Honor, in 1974, there was a particular diagnostic code for psychoneurotic disorder. I believe that was at DC-9406, which was in the code at that time. And I believe I did refer to that particular disability in my brief. However, that psychoneurotic DC was dissolved in 1979, just shortly before the VA added PTSD to its to the code.
So can I get your understanding about this, which is, so the, as I understand, although the Secretary will make the argument in a moment, the Secretary's position is that remand is appropriate for the board to consider whether or not the condition, Mr. Kellogg's condition, should be rated by analogy, as we're just talking about. So I'm having trouble understanding why it matters for Mr. Kellogg's situation whether the addition of PTSD is liberalizing or not. Is this just a situation of six of one, half dozen of another, or is it a situation in which it's really important that it be called PTSD for some reason that I'm not entirely grasping?
Well, Your Honor, to be certain, the court in 2013, in its first memorandum decision, did rule on the issue of whether or not, I believe your question is whether or not 3.114 would trump.
No, so I'm going to get to that, okay. Because I actually, for me, that is the biggest question in the case. But just leave that aside. Pretend that Judge Sholin had never written her 2013 opinion, decision, which I'm going to come back to. But as I understand the state of the play now, Mr. Kellogg is saying, no, the addition of PTSD should go back in time and I should be rated in 1974. That's one of your arguments, right? The Secretary says, no, PTSD, the addition was a liberalizing law, so it doesn't go back, but the case should go back because even though there wasn't PTSD at the time, we rated by analogy to something else, right? And if my understanding of the two positions is right, my question is actually just, well, then why does it matter whether we call it PTSD or something else? Is there a reason that it matters?
To be honest, Your Honor, no. However, the fact that DC 9406 has been completely dissolved, which was that particular DC, which was nearly identical, or I would say identical to PTSD as it stands now, is no longer listed in the schedule. And the April 1980 diagnostic code came in and it said that it was being added it was being added to prevent rating by analogy, it was being added to not to have to refer to other listed DCs. However, that DC is no longer listed, and the only analogy that the current PTSD regulation can relate to is itself. So the only analogous rating in the current code is PTSD at 9411.
Well, but I mean, I'll ask this for the Secretary, right? But the Secretary must have something in mind that could be used as an analogous rating, or else they wouldn't be saying to remand for the board to consider whether there should be an analogous rating. Right.
I disagree, Your Honor. I believe that the Secretary's position in all of these years has been that 3.114 is the regulation that controls here. And since Mr. Kellogg cannot get a date prior to April 11th, 1980, which he already has, there's no need. The 3114 would not apply to him. And I don't believe the Secretary has ever taken the position that Your Honor states that this is why they want the remand. They have basically held fast to the proposition that 3.114 controls because their district council has stated that this was a liberalizing law.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll ask the Secretary those questions. But you had mentioned Judge Sholin's 2013 memoranda decision.
Yes.
So What is your understanding of what Judge Shulman ruled in terms of the interaction between 3.156C and 3.114?
Well, Your Honor, the court ruled at the time that 3.156C trumps 3.114, which means that the 3.114 is a lesser included issue within 3.156C. And I believe the court also addressed that in the Foreman case, where we had almost the exact same issue where it was a PTSD issue, and the court reversed on that and ruled that 3.304F3 was intended to decrease the burden, and that 3.114 did not trump the new regulation.
So let me just ask you this. Tell me if I'm wrong about the sort of state of what the board did here. So it reconsidered the 1974 or 75 decision because there were newly associated records, service department records. And so under 3.156C1, it then reconsidered and granted the benefit, right? And then it didn't go to 3.156C3. It jumped to the liberalizing law of 3.114. Is that about right as you understand what happened?
Well, Your Honor, my recollection, and I've handled all three appeals on Mr. Kellogg's behalf, is that the 3.156C issue was dealt with more than one appeal ago. It's just that the board noted that the court had actually vacated the entire decision. So it sought to sort of do a redo, if you will, and they granted it based upon 3.156C. However, the board at all times conceded and agreed with the VA physicians that Mr. Kellogg has had PTSD since the day he left service. And that can be found in the board decision, in the current decision, at page 12. And there are also other things that they agreed with.
So the reason this is important to me, because this is, I think, the linchpin for me of this case, which is not whether 3.114 is liberalizing or not. Judge Shulman ruled in her memoranda decision, which is non-precedential, obviously. However, as to the parties here, it's binding. She ruled that, quote, if the board determines that 3.156C does not support an earlier effective date, then it goes to the other regulation.
Yes. Right?
As I read what the board did here, it never actually considered the assignment of an effective date under 3.156C. It assigned the benefit at C1, it reconsidered and granted. But 3.156C actually says what to do in terms of an effective date. That's C3. And I don't think the board ever did that. And so for me, and this is a helpful question to you, okay? For me, Judge Shulman's decision is the law of the case here, meaning it binds us. It binds us because it's an unappealed prior appellate decision in this case. And I don't think the board actually finished what Judge Shulman said it had to do.
Well, Your Honor, that is correct, and I completely agree. And I also would like to state that the secretary should actually be collaterally stopped from continuing to push the 3.114 issue when it has already been ruled on by the court in the 2013 decision. But the court should also be cognizant of the fact that when Mr. Kellogg filed his 2006 claim, I don't remember the exact dates, but there was a revision in the 3.156C around that time, 2005 or 2006. And I believe that Mr. Kellogg would satisfy the prior, would be satisfied even under the prior version of 3.156C. But if Your Honor is stating that his review of the decision, the VA did not deal with 3.156C, that would be because Every time we come to court, the secretary maintains that his case is controlled by 3.114. And we have repeatedly stated that it does not, it is not controlled by that regulation, but it's controlled by 3.156C, because that would give him the effective date of 1974, I'm sorry, when he filed his initial claim.
And what would the disability be for, since PTSD didn't exist, or at least the label didn't exist, what would have been the compensable disability?
Your Honor, it would be, I would argue that it would be PTSD for this reason. The diagnostic code DC-9406 was for a psychoneurotic disorder, I believe, and it was disbanded or dissolved, as several other DCs within the anxiety realm of the regulation. I believe that there remain only a few, starting with DC-9400, which would be generalized anxiety disorder, 9403, which is a phobia, 9404, obsessive compulsive disorder, 9410, other specified anxiety disorder, and then 9411, which is PTSD. Everything else has been disbanded, and if the VA is to refer to other listed DCs at the time they rate this, they would only be able to refer to DC-9411, which is PTSD. And this fits within what we believe was the temporal reach, if you will, of the regulation when it came into place. It is said right on the regulation that it's for procedural and statistical purposes. It wasn't even submitted for notice and comment for this reason, because they were just following along with the updates to the DSM-3 at the time.
But if the board granted service connection in 1975, which is what you're looking for, effective date, 74.
Yes.
At that time, what would have the disability been?
Well, we argued in our brief that it would be a psychoneurotic disorder under DC-9406. Which is no longer there, and that's
it was there in 1970.
Correct.
Okay.
And I believe we attached to our brief, Mr. Kellogg attached to a brief, the three versions of this code as it transitioned through the years. But because both the board, the secretary, and the law agrees that what is now known of PTSD is what they didn't know 30 years ago. In other words, the symptoms, et cetera, have been found medically to be PTSD. And everyone has conceded that Mr. Kellogg suffered from PTSD the day he left service.
So, but you wouldn't care, right, whether we call it psychoneurotic disorder, PTSD, or fill in the blank, right? I mean, this is back to my first question. Is there a legal reason why it matters what it's called in your view?
It does not, Your Honor.
Okay.
In fact, Mr. Kellogg contends that either result would be to his benefit.
But does it matter, and I'm picking up the thread that Judge Allen said, would it matter in terms of the speed at which your client would obtain, like if we reversed on the liberalizing law, would you win right away? Right? Would that obviate? Would that make unnecessary this later factual findings on the analysis?
It would, Your Honor. It would absolutely benefit Mr. Kellogg, because this is his third appeal, and this has not been a remand type of situation. The cases have been briefed over the past 10 years. I believe the first case was docketed in 2011. We're now almost to 2020. And he's had this condition for 45 years. He's pursued the same disability for so many years. And in our opinion, it's such a waste of government resources to, you know, do a redo and for a fourth possible appeal, of course, fearing another board error. But the board clearly has conceded that Mr. Kellogg has suffered from his condition since the day he left service. And it's only the sticking point for which the secretary should be collaterally estopped from asserting 3.114 when it has no place in this appeal whatsoever? As we previously stated, the delay is solely due to VA administrative error because they did not associate his records with the file, and they would like him to take an effective date of 1980, which is almost 6 years after he filed his initial claim in 1974. There is no reason, Your Honors, to treat Mr. Kellogg differently from other similarly situated veterans who filed claims for their mental disabilities in 1974 and were granted, and who are not still fighting with the VA for their benefits. There's no reason to treat Mr. Kellogg differently simply because those other veterans were lucky enough to have had VA not make the same mistake with their cases in the 1970s. And failing to associate pertinent records with the file. Yet the secretary would have Mr. Kellogg's now settle for a 1980 date, which is 6 years after he filed his claim. And this is really an arbitrary reason that's being given. The court should also be cognizant that had Mr. Kellogg been rated for his mental disability in 1974, let's say at 50% for his disability, and had filed a later claim for an increase after 1980, the VA would likely have changed his diagnostic code, for instance, from a psychoneurotic disorder under DC 9406 to what is now known as PTSD. So over the years, as we stated, most of the mental disorders have been revoked in favor of the 1988 amendments, and DC 9406 was revoked in 1979. And as we stated before, the physicians have all agreed, as well as the board, that what is now known as PTSD has been Mr. Kellogg has suffered with since 1972. The secretary, in its brief, also they're briefing 9411 as what they term as the distinct disability of PTSD, and has couched their main argument under 38 CFR 3.114. And as we stated before, the secretary should be collaterally estopped from this. And also, to the extent that 4.130 can be considered liberalizing, it can only be liberalizing for veterans who originally filed their claims after April 11, 1980. I've already mentioned the Foreman case. The court also stated that, I believe in the response to our request for clarification, that they wanted to discuss the issue of entitlement. And we just reiterate that Section 38 USC 1110 grants Mr. Kellogg that the service connection requirements under 3.304F are the diagnosis, a link, and the evidence of a stressor.
I just added two more minutes.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Kellogg was injured in service, and so therefore he obtained a legitimate entitlement to that benefit. And since he filed his claim, he is absolutely entitled to the benefits.
So you are on that point, as I understand it, he is service connected effective whatever the date is in 1980, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and you've said a few times that it's clear that he had this condition from essentially the time he left service, right? Did the board make that finding?
They did, Your Honor.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't mixing things up.
Yes. I believe the board conceded in a current decision that they agree with the VA doctors and concedes that he suffered from PTSD since the date he left service. And this can be found in the record at page 12.
Thank you.
For these reasons, Your Honors, we ask that this court reverse the board and and grant service connection for PTSD and order that the VA rate his disability. He's currently at 100% for his PTSD for the past years, from the very beginning, from April 11, 1980. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. The board properly relied on VA General Counsel Opinion 2697 to determine that the addition of PTSD to the rating schedule was a liberalizing law. Accordingly, the earliest possible effective date for that specific condition is April 11, 1980. The regulation change adding PTSD to the rating schedule is clear on its face that it wasn't a liberalizing law. It added a new diagnostic code not previously recognized by either mental health professionals or VA, thus creating a new basis for entitlement.
Could you help me with my very practical question for me? I mean, and I'm sure I am just missing something, but I honestly don't know why we're arguing about this, because you're saying the addition of PTSD is liberalizing, it can't go back in time, but we rated by analogy before that time. So what is the difference?
Your Honor, I would like to clarify a particular fact, and if you can bear with me for just a moment.
Sure.
The part of the Federal Register comments that appellant refers to with the regulation change, noting rating by analogy and to avoid or to, it's for procedural purposes, appellant actually fundamentally misunderstands the commentary.
I'll get to the commentary, but you conceded in your brief, right? You said that remand is required because the board provided inadequate reasons or basis because it failed to consider whether appellant's now diagnosed PTSD could be rated under an analogous diagnostic code. Okay, so. Why does it matter what we call it? So you can't be service-connected for PTSD effective in 1975, but we're going to call it an analogous thing because that's what, I'm not even going to the Federal Register point, right? I'm confused by the Federal Register comments. But this is your concession that the board needed to consider whether to rate it by analogy to something else.
Yes,
and so why does it matter then in this context whether 3.114 makes the addition of PTSD liberalizing or not.
Okay, I think I understand your question now, Your Honor. The Secretary's position is that the legal question of whether PTSD was a liberalizing law is very important because it can affect other veterans beyond Mr. Kellogg.
But I am with you, right? And although some of my former students will probably laugh when they hear me say this, right? There are lots of important questions out there that we could try to answer here as a panel, but if it actually makes no difference, right, if it makes no practical difference, then I'm not sure we can reach the question. And so is there a practical difference, particularly for Mr. Kellogg, right? Because it seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, but it does seem as if the board concluded that he's had this all the time since 74, but we just can't give him before 80 because of the addition of PTSD. So we know that these symptoms existed in 74 and he had the condition, and the secretary's position is we rate by analogy prior to that time, and that's why we should send it back. So if that's the case, I don't understand if it makes any difference at all whether we call it PTSD or not for Mr. Kellogg. Will it change anything for him?
No, Your Honor. In this case, I don't think it would change anything for Mr. Kellogg. I do want to clarify, though, that the board did not make any findings for the time period prior to April 11th, 1980, and so that is why the Secretary is recommending remand for the board to make those factual findings that, in fact, an analogous
case. So you do disagree, then, that the board made a finding that he had these mental conditions since 1975 or for whatever it was?
The board acknowledged that medical opinions stated that appellant did have what we now know to be PTSD since at least 1974 when he made his claim. But the board does have to make certain factual findings in the first instance, and so that is
why. Like what for here?
For here, in this case, for example, it would be whether and what analogous condition, like whether an analogous condition would in fact be appropriate prior to April 11th, 1980, what that diagnostic would be.
So then it does seem like it makes a difference to Mr. Kellogg, right? You said it didn't. Now, and the reason is, if we decide that the addition of PTSD is not liberalizing, then we could reverse an order service connection back to 1974. But if we're going to go your route and go by analogy, your position is, well, even though the board concluded he had PTSD since 1974, we have to let the board, in the first instance, rate by analogy. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor, except I am trying to fully answer your question.
Oh, you're doing fine. So.
I just want to also clarify that even if this court found that the addition of PTSD were not a liberalizing law such that 3.400 would apply, the board would still have to make a finding as to when the date of entitlement arose. And I think by its very nature, entitlement can't arise for a condition that simply isn't part of the diagnostic code prior to when it was added.
So what do we do then with my question about the law of the case, right? So leave aside whether Judge Sholin's decision is right, right? I'm taking no position on whether 3.114 is a lesser part of 3.156C. But that's what the prior unappealed appellate decision in this matter said. I don't think the board actually concluded its analysis under 3.156C. It granted service connection using C1, but then it immediately jumped to the liberalizing law point. But Judge Sholin's opinion says you only do that if 3.156C doesn't get you somewhere. And the board never went to 3.156C3, did it?
Your Honor, aside from whether the memorandum decision was correct or not, the board did apply 3.156C1 to reconsider the claim. But the Secretary's position is that 3.156C operates to merely determine the date of claim. And 3.156C3 still requires a finding as to when the date of entitlement arose. And that is when 3.114A or other regulations would come in.
Well, but wouldn't that, how about this, right? The board was required under the memoranda decision to reconsider under 3.156C. If it had determined under C1 after reconsideration that no service connection, right, on that basis, then Judge Sholin's opinion says, you know, you might go to something else. But here, if they reconsider under 1, grant service connection, wouldn't they under then C3 have an obligation to do what you're saying they should do on remand, which is consider rating by analogy? Because that would have provided a date potentially back to 1974.
No, Your Honor. The Secretary's position is that the board did exactly what it was supposed to do. Under 3.156C3, the date of entitlement is still not only just when the date the claim goes back to, the date of actually making the claim, but also when entitlement arose. And the board applied 3.114A to determine that the date entitlement arose was when PTSD was added to the diagnostic code.
But your argument on remand that the board should consider rating by analogy, if in fact it then rates by analogy, it's possible that he could get a date all the way back to 1974, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. For
then why wouldn't the board have done that as part of the remand after it reconsidered under C1? C3 says how you can set an effective date, and it seems to me that would have, that's the way you get back to 1974.
Well, Your Honor, the board didn't do that, and that's why the secretary is conceding error, that the board should have done that. The board should have considered whether an analogous condition was appropriate prior to when PTSD was officially recognized by VA.
Great, and that's where I wanted to get on the same page, because I'm increasingly thinking that we can't answer the liberalizing law question because the board was bound to do what Judge Sholin said to do, and it didn't do that because it didn't consider C3 and rating by analogy. And so that I just wanted to make sure everybody was on the same page, at least factually. People might differ legally, but so thank you.
You're welcome, Your Honor.
Go
ahead.
So I'd sort of pick up the same thread that you were going out with Judge Allen about whether we arrive in the same place, and then sort of extract that into the legal question about whether it's a liberalizing law. And basically my question is this, is in terms of the substance of what can be rated, is there any functional difference between the PTSD rating and then what its precursors or these analogous ratings? I mean, what I mean by that is if you presented the same inputs in terms of symptoms and functional impairments and so forth, would you always arrive at the exact same place? Is there any substantive difference? Is there an element of proof or a different way that it treats symptoms between PTSD and these analogous ratings?
Yes, Your Honor. Again, PTSD was only added to the diagnostic codes in April of 1980. Prior to that, PTSD as a condition was not recognized by either mental health professionals or VA. And in fact, it was expected prior to 1980, using the DSM-II mental health disorders, that if a person had anxiety, neurosis, that type of mental health disorder related to a traumatic event, the symptoms would be experienced either contemporaneous with or immediately after that traumatic event. So there is actually a substantial difference between mental health disorders that were in the diagnostic, the DSM-II, versus PTSD.
Wouldn't that be evidence as to how you demonstrate the condition as opposed to the assessment of the condition itself?
It's actually both, Your Honor, because PTSD has a very specific set of diagnostic criteria that mental health professionals use. And part of that, the diagnostic criteria considers the symptoms related to the traumatic event and how long it's been occurring and the timeline. So there's both the evidentiary portion where VA is trying to determine a nexus to service, and there is also a mental health diagnostic evidentiary portion to it.
So the rating could be different. I just want to follow up with what Judge Tolt says, right? So in this case, then, is it possible? I hate to use that word because anything is possible, but that Mr. Kellogg is rated at 100% for PTSD. The board says he's had these symptoms since 1974, which means if it's a liberalizing law, likely he's going to be 100% back to then. But is it your position that the rating by analogy might say, but if we didn't call it PTSD and we called it psychoneurosis disorder, his rating could be 60%, even though at PTSD he'd be at 100?
No, Your Honor, I could be wrong on this, but I believe that the neuroses were rated under the same rating criteria as they are now. So
the ratings then should be the same, whether we call it the neurosis disorder or PTSD.
Yes, Your Honor.
So then when you were responding to Judge Toth's question, you were actually thinking more about connection to service as opposed to the rating, you know, part three versus part four, basically.
Yes, I apologize if I misunderstood the...
No. I don't think you misunderstood. I just think that those two things might be very different, right? In other words, you might not have this connection, but that if you get the connection, the rating is identical, essentially, because you're using the same diagnostic, you're using the same DCs, essentially, as inputs.
Correct, Your Honor. In 1974, the mental health disorders were rated slightly different than they are now, where everything is sort of grouped under the same criteria. Right. They did separate it out between psychoses and neuroses. So I do want to qualify my answer that assuming if the board were to find that an analogous rating would be appropriate prior to April 11th, 1980, and it was also a neuroses, then yes, they would be rated the same.
So the difference between the psychotic neuroses, which Mr. Kellogg supposedly was diagnosed with or had symptoms of, and the difference between that and the designation or labeling a condition as PTSD is that in labeling something PTSD, it would broaden the ability to get service connection because these conditions could manifest after service, whereas in prior to that, you needed to manifest during service?
Yes, Your Honor. Recognizing PTSD and its diagnostic criteria acknowledged by mental health professionals, mm-hmm. that the symptoms related to a traumatic event could occur months or even years after the traumatic event.
But in Mr. Kellogg's case, it manifested during service? Is that my
yes,
understanding? So he would have qualified for that particular DS diagnostic code then?
Knowing the medical information that we do now, it is likely that yes, but I do want to point out that Mr. Kellogg filed a claim for nervous condition in 1974. He was provided a mental health examination, and he was diagnosed with a personality disorder. Mm-hmm. So even under the DSM-2 conditions that were known at the time, he was not diagnosed with anxiety or neurosis disorder. What he was diagnosed with was a personality disorder. It's not until we have the medical information that we do in the late 2000s that we understand in hindsight that he did in fact have symptoms during service and immediately after service.
But the board still on remand, I mean, because, you know, I think the one thing I can make a fairly good prediction about is, you know, this case is going back because everybody seems to agree on that. But on remand, though, the board then is not going to be precluded from assigning a rating, right? Because that's what you're saying it needs to consider, right, is to something analogous at the time.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I can sort of jump into the lull here. I want to sort of follow up on something that's completely out of sequence earlier about this note in the register, right? They deemed it procedural. What's the effect of that?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm glad you came back to that. And if you'll bear with me for just a moment while I explain the history of adding PTSD. So as I stated before, the DSM-2, which is what VA mental health professionals relied on prior to 1980, did not contain PTSD. And it was expected that symptoms related to a traumatic event would be experienced contemporaneous or immediately after that event. In January of 1980, the DSM-3 was published, which for the first time recognized a condition called post-traumatic stress neurosis. In March 1980, VA instructed its mental health clinicians to begin using this new diagnosis of PTSD in October of 1980. So this was a procedure that they were going to have in the future. In April 1980 is when the regulation change was made, and rather than relying on the internal policy, VA formalized adding PTSD to the diagnostic code. So that rating by analogy that it was referring to in the, for procedural purposes, was actually referring to a policy that was expected to come in, that they were going to engage in the future. It's not discussing a retrospective policy.
How do you get that from the language? I mean, I'm not saying you're making it up, but it would take somebody, you know, who's a mind reader to figure out that from the language, right? Because the language says this amendment to the rating schedule is for procedural and statistical purposes only.
Your Honor, the commentary, it does also note that PTSD is being added as the new diagnostic classification. It does also note that VA clinicians were going to be instructed to begin using PTSD not until October 1980. And I agree on on the face of the commentary, it might not be as clear as we would like it. But in the program guide change that the Secretary submitted in the supplemental notice, it does explain this policy and this the reasons why the change was being made. Also, at the time that the change was promulgated, VA did not have the benefit of the definition of liberalizing law that we have now. Spencer and Routon, those cases simply did not exist. But what VA did have was the commentary to the promulgation of 3.114A, which described a liberalizing law as a change in the nature of the evidence required to establish a connection to service, or establishing a new basis for entitlement. And so under that definition, as VA understood a liberalizing law to be, the addition of PTSD to the rating schedule certainly fits that definition.
Could you explain, I've read the general counsel's opinion several times, but having a hard time getting through it, so maybe could you just explain what they said in that opinion? I mean, their rationale?
Yes, Your Honor. The general counsel opinion explained, as I stated earlier, that prior to publication of the DSM-3, PTSD was not recognized by mental health professionals. It was expected that there would be certain evidence of symptoms during service, and that recognizing PTSD as a distinct diagnosis with its specific criteria acknowledged that there could be a mental health condition related to service that would manifest a significantly longer time after service. That opinion also laid out for those reasons why adding PTSD was in fact adding a new condition to the rating schedule, because it was not previously recognized, and also how it changed the nature of the evidence required to establish a connection to service. I think it's also notable, Your Honor, that the GC opinion 2697 has been relied on by this court, albeit in single judge decisions, but certainly relied on consistently by this court and also by claimants and practitioners to assume that the addition of PTSD to the rating schedule was a liberalizing law. The GC opinion was published in the Federal Register for reliance by VA and outside parties. This has been a longstanding policy of VA to afford claimants an earlier effective date than they would otherwise be entitled if we were simply relying on other regulations such as 3.400. As Judge Allen pointed out, it doesn't really seem to make a difference in this case whether we call appellant's condition PTSD or something analogous, but certainly the determination of whether the addition of PTSD to the rating schedule was a liberalizing law matters to a significant number of other claimants. It is clear on its face that the addition of PTSD to the rating schedule was a liberalizing law. It operates to afford claimants an earlier effective date than they would otherwise be entitled. The Secretary urges the court to affirm that part of the board's decision that found that this was a liberalizing law. Thank you.
Your Honors, we must remain mindful that this Mr. Kellogg's situation in the 1970s, when he first filed his claim and it was denied, it was due to administrative error. So here it is that we are 45 years after, and he's still fighting for the same benefits. This almost strikes as an obstructionist situation. 3.114 would not benefit Mr. Kellogg because that regulation states that any entitlement thereto could not be earlier than the effective date of the regulation that went into play. So if the effective date for the PTSD regulation is April 11, 1980, Mr. Kellogg already has that date. So he could not benefit from the utilization of that regulation. And in our brief, in our reply brief, we actually addressed that issue and stated that the general counsel's opinion on 3.114 only relates to veterans who file their claims after 1980 and are trying to get an earlier date based upon 3.114. Mr. Kellogg is not seeking relief under 3.114 to the extent that it would provide him a 1 year earlier date. He is seeking the date of his initial claim, which was in November 1974. He's not asking for the use of that regulation. And so the Secretary has erred by repeatedly referring to this regulation as being relevant here. Mr. Kellogg is entitled to this date because 38 CFR 3.156C controls here because VA committed an administrative error.
But if I understand what you said, you know, earlier correctly, is you said on page 12, the board made the finding that he possessed all of the requisite criteria for a PTSD diagnosis as of when he filed his claim, 1974, right? I mean, that was your point, that the board actually noted that he had satisfied all the fact findings he would need for a diagnosis of PTSD, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So if we were to reverse and find that PTSD was not a liberalizing law, that effectively would be, I mean, he would win on the issuance of our decision.
I'm sorry.
I mean, he would.
Who would win is your question?
The point is, and this is kind of, we're sort of retreading back to what Judge Allen said, is does it really make a difference? And we're trying to figure out if do we really need to even get to this?
Your Honor, the nomenclature of the regulation itself does not make a difference. But if this court were to reverse and order the VA to grant service connection for PTSD, that would be this court's order. And that's because also, as I stated earlier, PTSD is the replacement regulation for DC 9406. If you were to put them side by side and read what the symptoms are from 100 to 70 to 50 to 30, they are identical, Your Honors. It's just that 9406 no longer exists because it was replaced by PTSD. So if it were if the court were to reverse, as we are hoping that it will after these numerous appeals, Mr. Kellogg would finally be able to put this issue to rest because he was entitled from the very beginning to service connection for his mental disability. Now, the Secretary makes a point of stating that when he went in for his CMP exam back in the 70s, they diagnosed a mood disorder. Well, Your Honors, to be quite certain, most of the PTSD cases that come through this court, the veteran has been diagnosed with a mood disorder. And that certainly could be for many reasons, including the fact that the science had to take time to catch up with the disability. Because back in the 70s, when veterans were, you know, treated for traumatic injuries and, you know, and they termed it shell shock or war neurosis, there were many, numerous names that were given for these, you know, stressors that we now know to be PTSD. The natural thing to do was to say, well, you know, you have a personality disorder. And that was because the medicine had not yet caught up. But now we're clear on what those symptoms are. So Mr. Kellogg, when he left service, was suffering from symptoms of PTSD.
And so, now to just be ridiculously repetitive, along with Judge Toth and ICDP asking the same question over and over again, but so the only difference that I can really see meaningfully here, because I found the place where you said on page 12, where the board discusses a couple of medical opinions, finds them probative, and says they reflect that the psychiatric symptoms reflected in the veteran's service treatment records were due to his PTSD, and that these psychiatric symptoms have existed continuously since that time. All right, so that's the point, right? So it seems like if we said you can actually get service connection for PTSD back to 74, then we reverse and simply say do it. Whereas if we do the rating by analogy, we have to send it back for the board to decide which DC at the time to use. Is that a difference that you see here?
Well, Your Honor, we are relying and hoping that the court will reverse and order them to grant service connection for PTSD, because that is the governing regulation at this point. And I believe that that's been discussed. It was pretty much discussed in the Foreman case, which, as I stated earlier, is relatively similar. And then there's a certain line of cases that also supports retroactivity, including the Irwin case, in the Thurlow case. I mean, we didn't really get into those issues, but that was submitted within our supplemental authorities before the court. But we believe that the court does have the authority and the power to order the VA to grant service connection for PTSD effective November 1974 for Mr. Kellogg. There will not be that many other veterans possibly coming through the court system who have this very unique situation. But as I'd like to repeat, had Mr. Kellogg been granted his disability in 1974 at a lesser than 100% rating and then later filed for an increase, the VA often changes those diagnostic codes and within the adjudication round. They would have changed this code from DC 9406 to DC 9411. Because, you know, had he filed for an increase after April of 1980, they now know what this disability is. And they replace DC 9406 with DC 9411. I see my time is running out, so I would just like to ask the court if it will reverse this case and order that Mr. Kellogg be granted service connection for PTSD effective 1974. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Counsel. The case is now submitted for consideration. The court is adjourned, and we will come down and meet with counsel. Thank you.